At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Dave Hardesty joins us right now from Clutch Fans, one of the best basketball sites out there, and has been going strong for 21 years now, Dave, or longer?
Yeah, it's been since 1996, so it's been about 21 years.
You've been going about as long as the internet's been mainstream.
More or less, I think that's kind of how we got sort of the advantage to get started early. It was just fans started to go there, and that's how it came about.
Hey, well, I was kind of clowning the Rockets city uniform because I was hoping for something new, exciting, fresh. Chinese lettering, shocking. I mean, and I made
Bank
the point,
on.
And I made the point. I'm like, Yao's not here anymore. What's are we still? Les isn't owning the team. Is this still a? I'm just kind of curious. Because you're somebody who dealt with an influx of brand new fans when Yao Ming came to the Houston Rockets, and it helped to explode your website. And frankly, I think a lot of people have stuck around and just become Rockets fans, which has been great for the brand. There's no question about it. But there was so many business ties to Chinese properties for so many years with Yao. Is that still a big part of Houston's advertising or revenue packages?
You know, from my limited understanding, yes. I they are the most popular team in China, and that stems from Yao because it continued after Yao with Jeremy Lin, after Jeremy Lin. They have millions of fans that watch this team over there, and it's been something that they've always embraced. However, I think they've been doing this business for a while for the Chinese New Year, and I think they just probably, I don't want to say it was. They didn't have anything else planned, but they probably just stuck that city edition jersey. They always plan on doing the Chinese jersey, and they put it into the city edition. But I agree, when you look at some of these other jerseys that are out there, it just doesn't fit. I mean, Miami's is really good. I think you mentioned Philadelphia's. They've got some great jerseys that are kind of tied to the city and something, whether it was Clutch City related or something else involved with Houston, I think would have been a better fit. But I think they do these Chinese jerseys every year for the Chinese New Year. They've been doing that for the last, I think, 3 or 4 years. So they wanted to do it anyway, but it just doesn't fit for a Houston City jersey.
So let's get to the actual team itself. Right now it's kind of a downtime to talk about the Rockets because they lost 3 straight. But I personally have zero panic. I think it'll be 4 straight losses after tonight when you face the Boston Celtics, who are, clearly a very good team. There's no Clint Capella. He's going to be out, I think, at least for the next couple. They say he's out for 2 games. I guess you'll get fitted with a mask and he'll be back. Is this showing just how valuable Chris Paul is? Because I thought the Oklahoma City game should have been a win, but then the Rockets lost their way offensively in the fourth quarter. And I feel like one of the really important traits that Chris Paul gives you is the ability to slow James's role, because James can go from being a very wide open share the ball guy, and then he gets into ISO James sometimes at the end of games. And I think Chris Paul will stem that flow a little bit.
I think you're right, Lance. I think, when they got Chris Paul, I really felt like it was a situation where, beggars can't be choosers. That, Harden basically had a relationship with Chris Paul, and this is the superstar who wanted to come here. I didn't think he was the ideal superstar to sort of plug up their weaknesses. I think Paul George, I thought at the time, would have been probably a better fit. But I think what they've been able to do is run 48 minutes of James Harden quality sort of initiation of the offense. And I think Chris Paul is a different he runs it so well. He's so efficient, doesn't turn the ball over quite as much as Harden. And I think, as you pointed out, every time, the Rockets have had sort of breakdowns, it's because of some of these things with Harden, who's an immense talent, having a great season. But he has had breakdowns, whether it's in the playoffs or this season, where, when he runs that offense, he's either turning it over or just not quite as effective. And I think having Chris Paul just allows you to be able to switch to a guy who really isn't turning it over quite as much, and you know, you have 48 minutes where teams have to deal with one of these two players. So I think he adds a lot to the offense. I think the Rockets were probably smarter than I thought at the time adding him, in that they're not just matching up with the Warriors, but they're sort of saying, hey, we have we're going to be a team that other other teams are going to have to struggle to match up with, because we have two Hall of Fame point guards running the show.
Yeah, I kind of thought that the same way, Dave. I thought it was two players playing the same position, a minutes deal, that how are we going to get these guys on the court together? But I think it's worked, in as far as you don't necessarily need James massaging the ball, holding the ball. You lower his minutes. And I think what Lance talked about, his time in the fourth quarter when he starts to become a ball manipulator.
He can chill things. He can chill things out a little bit.
Yeah, CP3. He can ice it down. And CP3, exactly, it facilitates much better than James does. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I think you see that in fourth quarter crunch time. And with less minutes on the burden of minutes on both of those players lessened, I think you're getting the best of both of them.
Well, and that's the thing too, though. I mean, there's a difference between being a guy who can get you a bunch of assists and a guy who's a quarterback. Like Chris Paul is, he's one of the last true quarterbacks at the point guard position who can get you. He'll get you in the 20s if you need to, but Chris's whole thing is controlling a game. James can get you assists because he's a drive and dish guy, but James isn't really a quarterback of the team.
Well, you know, Lance, I agree with you to an extent there. I think Harden is an awesome, I personally think an awesome guy to run this particular offense. But when you look at Chris Paul, it's almost tailor-made for him to run D'Antoni's system. I mean, he's so efficient at doing it. And I think when you look at Harden, you know, you look at that last year, people talk about game six, but really go take a look at game five, the very end of that game five. Harden came into that game in the mid-fourth quarter. They had, I don't want to say control of that game, because you never quite have a control of a game when you're up by less than 10 points against the Spurs in San Antonio. But he started turning the ball over quite a bit. I think that carried over into game six when the Rockets just had basically a fluke poor game. I mean, I think they scored 17, 18 points fewer than they had in any other game that season. But that has always been the problem when they fall apart in the playoffs. You go back to the games against the Warriors, 12, 13 turnovers for Harden in a single game. I think having Chris Paul allows the Rockets to take some of that away from Harden and just, I think freeze his game up. He's having a monster season, leading the league in scoring, shooting almost 11 three-pointers a game, and having a career high, almost 40% from three. At that volume. So I think having Chris Paul here has been great for Harden.
You know, one of the things that you tweeted that I picked up on was and granted the sample size is relatively small, but the defense, since Luke Mbemate went out and, you know, the energy level he brings, the defense really took a really departed once he left. I mean, I think they went from sixth in some metric that you pointed out to 29th. I mean, that is a big drop defensively. How much of that was, do you think, has been literally, you know, losing him, and how much of it has just been circumstances of the different games?
You know, when they signed Mbemute, I thought it was kind of a depth addition. I didn't even think at that particular time that he was going to be this significant of a player in the rotation, but he is. I mean, he's averaging over 25 minutes a game. That's basically in the class of P.J. Tucker and Clint Capella. And if you look at the Rockets' defensive lineups, it's not even close. I mean, the most effective defensive lineups, defensive ratings in the high 80s, low 90s, they include Mbemute. He is a key player for this team in that he's long, he's athletic, he's not, a complete zero on offense. He can shoot the three, and I think he's key. I'm not just going to say that the Rockets losing Mbemute is, you know, the reason they've hit this slide. But it is a significant factor in their defense. But again, you look at the other guys they've lost as well. Capella at times, Chris Paul at times. I mean, the Rockets have five effective defensive players, and those are three of them, high-minute guys for this team. So it's a significant part of why their defense has dropped off so much, as you pointed out. You know, I think their defensive rating was top six, and then they lost Mbemute and other key guys in those last six games. It's fallen to 29th.
I got to tell you, I'm shocked Daryl was able to put together this kind of roster and still get Chris Paul. I didn't do all the math on it, obviously, to figure out if he could put this kind of depth together. But what's really been impressive, one of the reasons I didn't want Carmelo Anthony is because, to me, you're basically getting a guy who doesn't defend and doesn't rebound, and you're getting another score. And I don't really think that's – to beat Golden State, you got to add some defense. And I know it's hard. You got to shoot the ball better. You got to be more efficient. You got to add some defense. But I think that's what adding Mbamute and P.J. Tucker to a team that already had Ariza, they have added some interesting flex pieces defensively, to the team. And then you've got a point guard in Chris Paul that forces, unlike Patrick Beverley, and Pat was a good player and all this and that, but it's different now for Steph Curry, because if you do match up with them, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are really going to have to work against the Rockets' backcourt. So I think the Rockets have fine-tuned the team in such a way that it's much more dangerous than just adding a Carmelo Anthony would have.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, I think what they hoped in adding Carmelo was that it was more of a swap out of Ryan Anderson, who, you know, I think if you look at the last 9-10 games or this month in general, it's basically been a disaster, having a really rough stretch. But I think but you make a good point. I think what they needed to do as far as make a real impact from last season was improve their defense. But how do they do that without losing their, you know, most valuable asset or most valuable trade, I should say, is that they're explosive offense, and they've been able to do that in adding guys who can hit threes but yet are good, solid defenders, smart players. I think P.J. Tucker's been struggling a little bit lately, but he's been great overall for this team. They love to run him at, you know, in small ball sets as the center. And Mbamute has just been a key guy. I think you have to, in this league, you have to have at least two guys you can throw out there to shut down. I don't want to say shut down, but at least be solid defensive players against, you know, key stars, key wings in this league. And I think with Ariza, Mbamute, and as well Tucker, the Rockets have a lot of now options on defense that they didn't have. And of course, Chris Paul, I mean, he's a guy who's been, I think, five or six times first team all defense. So, I mean, he's getting a little bit older, but at the same time, he's a very effective defensive player.
Yeah, for the first time, the Rockets, I'm not really looking at the regular season. The Rockets have me in a mode, and this is actually a good thing, where I'm interested in the regular season, but I'm interested in how it takes shape as it leads to the bigger picture, because I see the big picture now. Like, I have actual hope here, big picture wise, and it's all about keeping Chris Paul. It's like the Spurs, I would think. It's all about keeping Chris Paul and Nene and certain veterans healthy because of what they bring to the table. And I think that's where the Rockets are, and that's a good thing, but at the same time, you want to start getting some W's back in the column as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think, and the funny part about it is, hope has been something, you know, you looked at what the Warriors did last year. I mean, they just ran through the playoffs, ran over everybody. And it's kind of hard to find hope at that time, like thinking, how was anyone really going to compete with this team? And I think the Rockets have done something, you know, as mentioned before, where they've got Harden and Chris Paul. It's going to be a tough matchup. I mean, I think Popovich, you know, the Spurs coach, talked a little bit about just how difficult it is to match up with both of those players. I mean, Chris Paul has had success against San Antonio. James Harden has as well. Granted, it was just one game, but the Rockets pretty much ran over them. And I think, you know, when the Rockets are healthy, there's something that we want to see in the playoffs. So is this going to, you know, with some of the defensive additions they've made, cover up some of these weaknesses and problems that we see in the playoffs? Things that do you know, eventually happen when they do get eliminated. But, you know, I think there's a lot of hope now that this team can compete and possibly beat the Warriors. And that's a very, very tough task.
Hey, Dave, we got to let you go. We appreciate you jumping on here.
You bet, guys. Thanks for having me.
@ Clutch Fans on Twitter, @ Clutch Fans, and, of course, ClutchFans.net.